The Homeland Security Department spends a lot of money on cybersecurity research and development. Now it wants to showcase the results to a wide audience. The Science and Technology Directorate's goal is to move its cyber projects out of the lab and into the commercial marketplace. Doug Maughan is the director of the Cybersecurity Division of the Science and Technology Directorate. He tells executive editor Jason Miller what DHS wants to accomplish with next week's Cyber R&D Showcase in Washington.
We have spent millions of dollars over the last two or three or four years on some of these technologies. We're trying to use this as an opportunity to get people, investors, system integrators, industry companies interested in the technologies and let them take what we consider to be fairly mature technologies and take the next step and try to help in the commercialization and you know, get the technologies out and available to the global public.
DHS has, and I think even your organization, has a commercialization office. How is this different from what that office does? Is it just a broader reach?
Yeah, and it's specific to cybersecurity. So our commercialization office within S&T has the responsibility across all of the S&T portfolios. From a cybersecurity perspective, you know, this is only cybersecurity technologies, and it's pretty focused to the people that will be attending. We expect those to be companies that are in the IT security space, and so it's a little bit narrower focus than what our commercialization office would do.
Okay, and then let's talk a little bit about some of those technologies being featured. There's a lot of them, so go through some of the ones that maybe you're most excited about.
I think some of our most interesting ones, I think the first one is forensics. We have a small business out of the Chicago area that's been doing a lot of mobile forensics work for our law enforcement community. They'll be doing some, not only a presentation, but some demonstrations of some of this technology, and it has broader applicability than just law enforcement, but I think it's one of these up and coming companies that has grown from a small business to 50 employees over the last couple of years under our funding. We've also got a project that's going to talk about the joint work between us and the Department of Energy, looking at next generation solutions for securing the power grid. So that's another key area I think for our future is to make sure we're building and designing solutions for the next generation. We've also and highlighting some of our competitions that we've been doing with high schools and colleges, an opportunity to hear about the progress we're making there. And we are also talking about our test bed. It's being used not only by researchers globally, but by universities as a teaching tool to teach students about networking and security. So that's making some great strides. We have some technology from the software world, looking at new tools for software analysis. As you're aware, many of the vulnerabilities lately have been software bugs, and so we're highlighting one of our best tools there. We're also looking at the issue of mobile authentication with government, what are called PIV cards, the personally identifiable verification cards. And so that's another area where we're trying to bring in some of our technology to have immediate impact into the government and even the private sector community as the private sector does interoperable solutions to the government PIV card. That's a few of them, but the showcase day will include a expo and poster session. So there will be 11 speakers during the showcase, but the expo and exhibition session will have over 60 technologies demonstrated over a two-hour period where people can walk through and see kind of anything they want to. So we're really excited about the day and think it's going to be a great opportunity to build partnerships for the future.
How is the speaker presentation going to work? Are they going to get up on stage and just demonstrate their technology, or is it going to be more interactive? Give me a sense.
A little bit of both. So each speaker's got about 20 minutes to give a presentation of, what their idea was, what they've done, what impact it has the potential to have, what their commercialization strategy is. A couple of those speakers will be doing live demonstrations as part of that presentation, but then all of those speakers will be included in the Tech Expo session in the afternoon, so people will have a much longer period of time to talk to those 11 as well as the other 50 that will be included in the Tech Expo.
And how'd you choose which 11 got to be presented? Because I'm sure if you had 60 people, all of them would like to be that among the 11.
I let my program managers decide and which of their technologies they thought was most mature, has the most opportunity for commercialization potential given an expected audience of system integrators, industry, international partners, et cetera.
You mentioned earlier on in our conversation that this was maybe the first time you're opening the showcase up more broadly. What made you guys decide to do that? And talk a little bit about how does this compare to maybe some of the other events you've done in the past?
What we've done in the past have been largely a large program review. So the only people kind of in the room have been mostly government and the performers, whether they're an academic or a small business or a large business or a national lab. And so it's never really been kind of public and out and invited to kind of anybody to come and see. And, you know, because we have been funding a lot of efforts over the last 3 or 4 years, because we've opened it up a lot more to the international community, we felt like we should do this open and available. And the government is often beaten up for not being open and sharing the results with people. So we felt like this is an opportunity for us to do that.
Was there any concern about opening this technology up to the bad guys too? Or are you able to kind of control who comes and who goes?
Well, I think there's two answers there. One is, you know, we are vetting all of the attendees, make sure seem like they're from reputable organizations, et cetera. But, you know, the other thing too is we're not going to be getting down at the level of detail that might be necessary, you know, for a bad guy to figure out how to reverse engineer a technology. That there would have to be a lot more conversations and a lot more details. I mean, we're expecting with a 20-minute presentation, these technologies are not going to get into the level of detail that's going to allow an attacker or a bad guy to really have an idea as to how to reverse engineer it.
You also recently launched maybe a relatively new partnership with the Food and Drug Administration around the cybersecurity of medical devices. There was actually an event just about a month and a half or 2 months ago now around that topic. Give me a sense what came from that event and what are the next steps?
So I think it was a, you know, a good first step in discussions with FDA about what they're doing. And I think, you know, the two things that I think came out of it is one is we talked about a month or so ago about this notion of cyber physical systems, and medical devices are in fact a cyber physical system. We've now brought in the FDA folks and they're going to help review proposals that we've received in the area of medical device security, which, you know, it's great to have their technical expertise as part of that review. And the second one is a discussion we've had with FDA about helping them form a consortium of the medical device manufacturers. We've done similar types of consortia with the oil and gas sector, with the DOE, and been having some conversations with the auto manufacturers as well. So I think one of the other things that will come out of this will be some form of joint DHS-FDA consortium with medical device manufacturers to get the device manufacturers more aware of the cybersecurity issues and building products that are cybersecurity safe.
When you guys with FDA held this event, again, October timeframe, did you feel like the medical device manufacturers are understanding the seriousness of cybersecurity? Did you walk away going, oh, there's a lot of work to be done? What was your sense when you walked away from that event?
There are some that understand it. That's a smaller percentage. There are a lot that are starting to realize the impacts of, you know, as more and more commodity products are put into these medical devices, that in fact that they might be vulnerable. So there's still a ways to go, but I think there's, you know, as in many areas, you've got some percentage leading the pack up front. The bulk of the pack that's in the middle that is, you know, trying to figure it out, and you have a few stragglers who don't believe it's a problem and, you know, takes a lot more work to convince. But I think, you know, they're starting to understand how significant the medical community is with respect to cybersecurity vulnerabilities.
I know when we talked in October and I wrote the story about cars and toasters and, mm-hmm. and cybersecurity, mm-hmm. I got a lot of interesting feedback and a lot of people were laughing at the idea of a toaster being networked and you know, a lot of people said I'll just stick with the regular toaster that can toast my bread. But how much does talking with the FDA and talking with other agencies that and the whole concept of the Internet of Things that seems to be growing and growing, how much is that playing a role into some of the showcase technologies and some of the future R&D work that DHS S&T is looking at?
So I think there are a couple of the showcase technologies that are in this area of cyber physical systems and Internet of Things. Specifically, there's a technology coming out of Columbia University that is looking at, yes, my toaster could be taken over and be used for malicious things, but so can my printer and so can my phone and so can other devices. And so they've built a technology that will allow you to do essentially randomized types of technology inside of those embedded devices. So I think there's some real interesting things coming there. You know, more and more as we look at this cyber physical system Internet of Things with the other agencies, there's been a joint solicitation with us and NSF and NIST and several others. And so I think even as you look at the, you know, critical infrastructure, more and more embedded devices, that are commodity systems, we've got to worry about securing them because they're more easily hackable from the bad guy side.